The Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or the FARC, as the group is known by its Spanish acronym, have been holding prisoners and hostages for years. That includes the high-profile former Colombian presidential candidate Ingrid Betancourt, and also lesser-known hostages like the three Americans who were captured in 2003 by the FARC after their plane crashed. Joining me now for the second part of today's Underreported are Joshua Goodman, an Associated Press reporter based in Bogota, and George Gonzalez, father of Mark Gonzalez, one of the hostages. And I'm very pleased to welcome them to the show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Stephen, what exactly are the FARC and what are its political aims?
This is Josh Goodman speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Josh.
That's okay. The FARC is Latin America's oldest and largest revolutionary army. They've been around since the 60s, and they have an agenda that's pretty much Marxist, leftist, in the old sort of 1960s vein of Latin American revolutionary groups. They've got about 12,000 foot soldiers at the current moment.
Are the FARC leaders publicly known figures?
Their names are known. There's about 60 of them who make up the central command of the FARC, and they're all well known. They have all been indicted, incidentally, by a U.S. Federal court for drug trafficking, but they're in hiding, and they're really not seen or heard from except on messages they send across the internet or in the very rare interview they give to a Colombian or foreign journalist.
What is Colombian President Uribe's official position on the FARC?
He has called them. He was elected in 2002 and has been very successful in branding them narco terrorists, kind of riding the wave of anti-terrorism sentiment that prevailed all over the world after 9/11. He's kind of cataloged them in the same vein as Al Qaeda and other Middle Eastern terrorist groups. And it is true they rely on proceeds from the cocaine trade to finance their insurgency. He has a very hardline position against the FARC, which the U.S. supports, and most Colombians do as well.
So the Colombian population is largely opposed to the FARC.
Yeah, I was trying to think about what percent. I haven't seen any recent surveys, but it's a very minimal amount, I would think, that support the FARC. However, in a nation where most people live in poverty, and political power has traditionally been concentrated among the elites, it's not surprising that the government's efforts to label them as these narco-terrorists can only go so far. Most people, wouldn't necessarily share this idea that they have no political agenda whatsoever.
Although the FARC are a revolutionary group, so they have no interest in getting a lot of support from voters. They're interested in something else, although it doesn't sound to me like they're really interested in anything other than perpetuating themselves and getting their funding from selling drugs. I mean, are they still effectively a political group? Do they really have some kind of idealistic program? Or at this point, are they just simply involved in the drug trade and spouting revolutionary rhetoric?
This is a contentious question because, that's clearly what Uribe says and the U.S. government says. The FARC are very far from taking power. Let's be clear about that. I mean, they're not, on the doorsteps of Bogota. However, I think there's only so far you can go with that. They do have ideals which they're willing to fight and die for. It's just a question right now, what's the relevance of this? They really are very far from taking power.
Does anyone know for sure how many hostages and political prisoners the FARC is holding?
Yes, the FARC are holding about 700. The vast majority of these, though, are for ransom. It's a way for them to finance their insurgency. I should also be said, there's lots of other criminal groups in Colombia who also have hundreds, and the latest figure I saw was 3,300 people are currently being held in captivity in Colombia. And like I said, seven of them in the hands of the FARC. But of the ones that we're talking about with respect to the Americans, they're part of a group of 45 hostages that are known by the FARC calls them political prisoners. because they're agents of what they say is the enemy state. They're politicians, they're soldiers, and they're the Americans who they frequently will refer to as spies.
Well, in the case of George Gonzalez, our guest, his son Mark Gonzalez was captured by the FARC because of a plane crash. George, when was the last time you heard from Mark?
Well, actually, I haven't heard from Mark other than the Proof of Life film, and that was back in July of 2003.
So you have no idea what conditions he's living in?
That's correct. I haven't heard from him, haven't spoken to him, haven't seen him since that film.
He has left a family behind. What is the extent of that family?
Well, he has one daughter, and he has two sons and a wife.
Mm. And what was he doing in Colombia?
He was doing surveillance for the company he worked for.
Surveillance, in other words, there was a political nature to what he was engaged in?
Well, political only from the sense that it was dealing with, looking at a movement of drug trafficking.
Mm-hmm. And so does that make him more significant to the FARC because they engage in drug trafficking?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not so sure what makes things more important than one thing or another to the FARC. I really don't know.
Because you've had no contact with them.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you've called the U.S. government more than once and the Colombian government. Have they offered any help?
Well, up until late, with President Chavez taking the initiative to be a mediator, up until then, we really haven't gotten a lot of support there.
What about the company he was working for?
The company does what it can. I have to say it's been good to the families. It's standing by them. It's doing whatever it can do, but its hands are tied as well.
Joshua, George mentioned Hugo Chavez's involvement in all of this. He's been playing a role in the negotiations. What's his relationship with the FARC? Is there any truth to the rumors that he supports them?
I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking, but let's also be clear that there's never been any proof that he's providing any logistical or military support to the FARC. I've never seen anything convincing in that vein. However, there's a real ideological affinity between the two. The FARC praise Chavez all the time on their website, and in that sense, he has considerable leverage over them, I think. It's also believed, and the evidence here is a little bit more it's a little more believable that some of the FARC commanders frequently, slip across the porous border between the two countries, hide out there for a while, maybe come back, maybe are staying there permanently. But again, it's never been proven that Chavez himself or, the government is sanctioning their safe passage in any way.
Is there a sense that anything hopeful is coming out of his negotiations with the FARC?
I think so. I mean, George would probably be the best person to ask. But I've spoken to George and other family members, not just the Americans, but also Colombians, and they really feel that they're for the first time since the kidnapping in 2003, they really feel optimistic about where things are going. The involvement of Chavez really being, what set the spark to a possible negotiation in earnest for their release. There hasn't really been one since they were kidnapped.
So, George, you've been talking to the Venezuelan government?
Yeah, we met with President Chavez almost 4 weeks ago, and we spoke to him in person, yes.
And what were you told?
Well, we were told that he felt that this is something he wanted to do. He felt he could do it, and he wanted to support us 100%.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that made you feel a little hopeful.
Well, when you're talking to somebody who hasn't seen his son in over 4.5 years, and this is the first ray of light, yeah, I felt pretty good, and I still do.
I'm sure you think about your son every day.
Absolutely.
Now, Joshua, Ingrid Betancourt is probably the best known of all the hostages, and she was a guest on this show when she was running for president of Colombia. She seemed to fear militia groups on the right more than the left, so what happened? What reason has the FARC given for keeping her prisoner?
You know, the FARC is a very hermetic organization. They don't communicate that much with the outside world. They send messages on their website, but it's really difficult to know what the FARC is really thinking at any given moment. And at the same time, they're a Leninist organized organization. Decisions are made very slowly, and they're taking by several people. It's not just one. It's not like a Fidel Castro with a single figurehead who makes decisions for the organization. That said, I mean, the FARC's goal all along is, like you said, take power, overthrow the state. And these prisoners, these hostages, or prisoners as they call them, are real political pawns. It gets them attention. It spreads fear throughout society that, you know, someone else might be kidnapped, that they might be kidnapped. And, you know, it dominates in many ways the political agenda of any president in Colombia, including the current one.
Well, have they listed any terms and conditions they might want fulfilled before they'd release someone like Ingrid Betancourt?
They have, and they've been very specific about it, and their longstanding demands that they have. There's basically two of them. The first is that all the rebels be released that are currently in Colombian jails and other jails. So there's about 500 rebels in Colombian jails. And there's also, incidentally, three FARC members held in U.S. jails. Two of them have been convicted on terrorism-related and drug trafficking charges. And they demand that those also be included in any, what they're calling a humanitarian exchange or prisoner swap. And then the second demand that's also longstanding and pretty much not negotiable on their part is that the government cede a safe haven in southern Colombia, the size of New York City, if you can imagine. And that would be a place where negotiations and the handover would take place. And these conditions, by the way, have been rejected out of hand by Uribe, the president here. And as you know, it would be very difficult to get a presidential pardon in the U.S. to release the FARC members in U.S. jails. It's not impossible, but it would be difficult politically, I would think.
Hasn't French President Sarkozy also gotten involved recently to help get Ingrid Betancourt released? Because she has citizenship in both France and Colombia. Her husband is French.
That's right. He's been very active, much to the surprise of the Colombians, although he's made several phone calls. He asked President Uribe to release a very high-level guerrilla, which he did, and his name is Rodrigo Granda, and he's now in Cuba. But these gestures so far haven't really led anywhere. The FARC, you know, is pretty intransigent. They haven't reciprocated in any way. But Sarkozy is very involved, and this is good for the negotiations that the international community is involved.
Would a military rescue be possible? I'm assuming Uribe would prefer to see something like that happen.
Military rescue, it's on the table. President Uribe sometimes quite vocally promotes it in his speeches to the political bandstand. And incidentally, it's also a stance which the U.S., as recently as January, said it supports. The idea being that it would only take place if the government here had verifiable, accurate intelligence. But I was speaking with Assistant Secretary of State for the Western Hemisphere, Thomas Shannon, in January, and he said the U.S., you know, under very specific conditions, would support the idea of a military rescue. However, and again, I think this is a question for George, is, you know, what do the family members think? A lot of them, in Colombia at least, think it's suicidal to even attempt that. And, you know, past attempts have always ended in a, not always, have, but have ended in a bloodbath.
You've asked George the question I was about to ask him. George?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Their track record isn't the best. Actually, it's pretty poor as far as any type of military releases go. They haven't done well at all. Actually, the best thing that is available in my mind is the negotiation process, and the doors were open for that on October 8th, and unfortunately, they've been postponed. But to me, that's the best option.
My guests are George Gonzalez, father of Mark Gonzalez, one of the people being held hostage by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or the FARC, and Joshua Goodman, an Associated Press reporter based in Bogota. One of the hostages escaped earlier this year. He'd been held for almost 9 years and ran through the jungle for 19 days to escape. How was he able to get away when no one else has? Josh?
I mean, a lot of it pure luck. I mean, if you hear this guy, his name is Frank Pinchao. He was a police officer. He was very lucky. I mean, the question isn't only escaping from your captors, but then what do you do 20 days in some of the most dense, violent jungles in the world? So I think by miracle, he really has done that. This is not an option that I think most of the hostages would consider.
Well, he was chained, so he must have just been kind of lucky to be able to get out of his chains. It's not so easy to get out when people are checking whether the chains are tight enough on a regular basis.
There was another person who escaped this year, too, and he's now Colombia's foreign minister, and it was a very similar sort of circumstance. Although in that case, the military said they had raided the camp where he was being held, and he took advantage of the crossfire to sneak out and flee. But it's a very rare instance, and, you know, I don't think you can expect the same to happen from the Americans. They're under pretty heavy guard, I'm pretty sure.
George, have you been able to speak to these escapees?
Yes, I met with Mr. Pinchao when I was in Colombia, and I did get to speak to him. And he actually saw my son and Mark and Keith.
He saw them, and is that all he could report?
Well, basically, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the last thing that was reported was that, I guess, according to Mr. Pinchao, my son had hepatitis, and I was asking him about that because I was concerned about his well-being. And he just thought that he would be in better health now. He said he wasn't, he was ill, but he was getting better.
Now, this is a shocking story, and it, usually they say the Americans don't pay much attention to a story that takes place in another country if Americans aren't involved. But Americans are being held hostage by the FARC. Why do you think it has received so little media attention here? I throw this out to both of you. Well, I guess, George, you first, because I'm sure you've been trying to get attention.
That's a real good question. I'm going to have to say I think what it is it's taking a back burner as a result of all the things going in the East, and I just think the Iraq situation is just overshadowing everything. And I think what's happening now, and I hate to say it, but I mean, you've got the mortgage problem, and I think that's even overshadowing it. So I think it doesn't take a high priority. And unfortunately, I think that's what it's been all along. I just think the situation here for the three men and along with those other hostages from Colombia, I just think it takes a back burner in this country.
And what do you think, Joshua?
Well, I would echo what George says. Maybe also ask, you know, why don't Americans pay attention to Latin America generally? This is something us as journalists are, you know, it's a constant frustration for us. And at the same time, the FARC are very intractable. I mean, they have shown really no willingness to release these people. And, you know, there's many cases, unfortunately, in Colombia, very painful stories of people being held 10 years. It's a very sort of static story, if you will. People are held in very miserable conditions, chained up, as you said, in cages, and they're not killed, thankfully, but they're not released either. And unfortunately, that's probably not a sexy story for most Americans to read about.
I also wonder about the readjustment once they are released. I'm sure that's something you've thought a lot about, George.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that I talked to Mr. Pinchao about, and I wanted to get his feeling on that, because that is a very important thing to me. And his take on that was that, you know, they're going to come back, and he says when they come back, he says just let them go on with their lives and don't keep them always under that shadow, if you would, of what happened to them.
I want to thank you both so much for talking about this with us on Underreported. George Gonzalez is the father of Mark Gonzalez, one of the hostages being held by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or the FARC, as the group is known by its Spanish acronym. And Joshua Goodman is an Associated Press reporter based in Bogota. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.